If I ask each of you in the group to write me a brief note, would you all immediately pick up your pen with your little finger and jot off your thoughts? If so, I might never be able to interpret what you were really saying, but there would be a certain amount of appreciation for your scrawling. What if you had used your little finger and your ring finger? It would still be difficult communication via an immature, childish scribble. However, if you'd use all your fingers in right relation one to another, it would be easy to understand your thoughts. This tape will explain an illustration referred to as the hand, which describes five ways to make the Bible a vital part of your life. The world is searching for living epistles. Let's accept the honor God is wanting to give any man who will use every means possible to hide the Word of God in his heart. Put your hand down on a blank sheet of paper and trace around it. Fill in each finger like the illustration you see on page 32 of your study. What sort of a grasp do you have of the Word of God? If I am a Christian, John 8:47 informs me that I will gladly listen to God's Word. Also, you recall from Romans 10:17 in your study that reading the Word produces faith in our lives. Do you believe that? Let's walk back through the Old and New Testament for examples of those who heard and were affected by its words. In the Old Testament, there's Abraham, Joshua, Jonah, David, Solomon, and in the New Testament, there's Paul and Peter, the woman at the well, the Ethiopian eunuch, and Timothy, just to name 10. One caution to you that the hearing alone will not be sufficient. Actually, educators tell us that we only remember from 10 to 15% of what we hear 24 hours. We need a better retention than that. Suppose that you came to dinner at my house, and when you walked in, your appetite was aroused just by the aroma of the prepared meal. Would you think it a bit strange if I seated you 6 feet from the table and turned on a giant fan behind the food that we'd carefully prepared, ensuring you of a terrific aroma? You wouldn't be satisfied with that, would you? Neither should you be satisfied only to hear the Word of God. A second basic way we take in the Word is to read it. Since we are commanded to do this, and since we will learn to respect the Lord, we ought to get on a daily reading plan. You know, there's been a group doing it since Acts 17:11, where it said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Some excuse themselves from reading by exclaiming in dismay that they can never remember what they read. Do you remember what you had for lunch 2 weeks ago today? Can't remember, huh? Did it serve the purpose? Sure. You see, the value is not in our memory, but in the menu. Read, even if the thoughts go through your mind like water through a sieve. You know, you can't fill up a sieve with water, but the more you try, the cleaner sieve you have. So it is with our minds and our lives as we read. But hearing and reading alone are not enough. Educators tell us that we will remember, somewhere between 15 and 25% of what we read. But there's a way to increase the retention. The third way of intake is to study the Word of God. God wants us to figure out the areas of our greatest need and then to study the Scriptures relating to those areas in order that He can transform us. Suppose you're having a problem overcoming temptation. Study James 1. Suppose you're having clashes in love relationships. Study 1 Corinthians 13. This will take pencil and paper and time and effort, but the reward will be overwhelming. But study alone with hearing and reading does not produce total retention. We remember somewhere between 60 and 80% of what we study. The fourth way we take in the Word of God is to memorize it. Scripture memory helps you to come alive, not superficially, but deep inside where you live. It will expand your confidence in God's love and in His purposes for you, no matter what happens in your life. Proverbs 6, 22, 23, and 24 should answer your question as to why you should memorize. Verse 22 indicates that you ought to memorize in order that the Word may guide you. Verse 22 also indicates that it affects your subconscious. Verse 22 also indicates it affects your conscious mind. Verse 23 says it gives you insight. Verse 23 says it disciplines you. And verse 24 says it keeps you from sin. Proverbs 6, 22, 23, and 24. One of the best ways to memorize a verse is to read it over and over, preferably aloud. Seek to grasp the meaning of the verse. Now look at the phrases separately. Repeat from memory the reference and the first phrase, then the reference and the first and second phrases, and so on until you can say the entire verse correctly with the reference repeated before and after. We encourage you to repeat the references before and after because that way you'll be repeating the reference twice as much as you will the verse. And we find that the references are twice as hard to remember as the verses. It is helpful to write the verse out as a part of the process of learning. Writing it down makes a particularly strong impression on the mind. Review the verse immediately after you've memorized it 20 or 30 times, then review it every day for the next 2 months. Those who study the mind tell us that anything you repeat every day for 7 weeks is almost impossible to forget. But still, it's not complete, although in memorizing, if we're reviewing, the retention is 100%. But there's one further step that fits with all of the others, hearing and reading and studying and memorizing, and that is meditation. Someone has said meditation is attention with intention. It's getting the Word of God from the head to the heart and out into the life. God does not promise us success for just memorizing His Word, but He does promise success for any person who will meditate in His Word day and night. The steady, persistent mental practice of memorizing and meditating on Scripture will change our whole mindset, stabilize our emotions, and refocus our ambitions. When God communicates on success in Scripture, He always connects it with the constant inner activity of meditating. You may even want to meditate on these six comments the Scriptures have for us as a result of the process. First, you will have good success, Joshua 1:8. Secondly, whatever you do will end in good fortune, Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Three, you will outstrip others in wisdom and understanding, Psalm 119, verses 97 and 100. Four, you will have new power over sin, Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Five, you will find out how to really live, Proverbs 4:4. And six, the success you have will be plain to everyone, 1 Timothy 4:15. If you don't have all these fingers of the hand, hearing, reading, studying, memorizing and meditating, functioning in your life, you are crippling the effectiveness of God's message to you for achieving your fullest potential. Perhaps, as a group, you could focus on one aspect that seems to be the biggest hang-up in the lives that you're living and discuss how the problem could be overcome or at least helped in the coming week.